Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
City Limits is off on a non-wiffle ball trip, which is a surprise. We're darn proud of him, aren't we, Sean?
He's a wonderful man.
By the way, I enjoyed our pickup basketball game at the Fan 5 Alarm. I thought I played quite well.
We made quite a team,
yeah.
Along with Malzi.
Yeah,
we were unstoppable.
We were really good.
I think we won like 27-4 or something along those lines.
Of course, Harry Callis was on the other team, but yes, we did.
Yeah, he's not much for defending the paint.
No.
Would think he would kind of just sprout roots there, but he actually tries to play up top, and then you just
he tries to play. He plays a perimeter offensive game too. I'm like, Harry, what are you doing? Nobody can move you. I'll throw it to you. It'll be like Chief in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Nobody can guard you. Just grab the ball, turn, and shoot a layup. Nobody's stopping it. But he wants to shoot threes, old Harry Callis. I was shocked. You're a good rebounder, and I was also surprised by your basketball acumen, and I want to play more, Sean. Do you play regularly?
I would like to. It's not that easy to kind of get people together.
Who plays and where?
We've played around the studio a handful of times when maybe like we're overlapping shifts. So Joel Nelson and Seth Davis are big into it. I've tried to get Malzi to play, and he always brings up his, what do you have, like a hip?
Knee, yeah, knee problem. Yeah. How about when Malzi went flying over the bleachers at the
that
Fan
was scary.
5 Alarm?
He made it out unscathed, thankfully.
I thought he was going to be severely injured. There was a tiny, tiny little set of bleachers. Was it even bleachers, or what was it?
No, it was maybe some equipment, I think, right?
It looked like bleachers. It was a steel contraption that if you weren't looking, you wouldn't see it. And there goes old Malzi finally hustling for a loose ball. And he throws it back in bounds and goes flying ass over tea kettle over the little thing. I thought he would have some sort of head injury. Luckily, he was okay other than his pride.
Was that a big head joke about Malzi there?
No, I mean, I'm surprised he didn't put it like a crater into the driveway there at the Fan 5 Alarm with his cranium. All right, Sean, it's a football fix. Please, I'd like to hear what you have to say.
All right, we've got potentially four topics to get to today. We're going to talk a lot about the Steelers division, the AFC North. So we'll begin with the Browns. Everyone knows that their quarterbacks have been under the microscope this offseason. They've added bunch of guys. It doesn't really seem like they have a great plan, and we're getting some conflicting reports about what they're ultimately going to do. For the last few weeks now, there's been a lot of talk about a former Steeler quarterback, Kenny Pickett's struggles with the Browns. Maybe he would be the guy that they ultimately will move off of, whether that being trading him, releasing him, whatever.
He's having troubles getting through 7-on-7s with no defensive backs. I mean, this is, I mean, just like throwing to his own guys. 7-on-none, I should say. Old Small Hands is having troubles here.
ESPN Cleveland's Aaron Goldhammer said he is the consensus worst player among the quarterbacks. Keep in mind, two of those players are rookies.
Yeah.
However, there's also reports Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com thinks that there's a real chance they both enter and finish the 2025 season with all four of their quarterbacks, not counting Deshaun Watson, who's going to be out for the season, but Flacco, Pickett, and then the two rookies, Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders, all four will be on the roster.
That which is incredible.
Most teams nowadays do two quarterbacks on the roster, and then they can have the emergency guy.
Well, why would you keep four? And then is Watson going to be eligible at some point?
I don't think he's going to be on the active roster all season. I think he'll be out for the the entire campaign to their benefit, to be
honest.
Can't
be good when you're one of the quarterbacks, and I'm talking about Watson, and the owner has said of you, we swung and missed. That can't be a boost to your confidence, can it, Sean? He can't be there for long.
No, but I think they're kind of stuck with just riding it out while he sits there and recovers, and you know they go this opposite direction. But I don't know what direction. I don't really know that they have a plan right now. I think they're just going to see if anyone kind of separates themselves, and it doesn't seem like they're potentially going to move on from any of these guys. Even if Pickett continues to struggle like this, they might feel more value in just keeping him around on the roster for this upcoming season, which could be a real mess. Who do you think starts the most games at quarterback this season for Cleveland?
Man, what a great question.
Thank you.
I was thinking Pickett until, you know, Ghost started stopping him in minicamp and things like that. They seem to like Dylan Gabriel. I'm going to go with Joe Flacco. How do you like that?
It never seems like he's the first choice, but when someone falters, he's always there, and he'll at least put a good stretch of a handful of games together. So I don't think that that's a bad choice. I don't think he'll be their starter game one, but I could see him maybe the second, third, fourth month of the season
getting a run. I think Dylan Gabriel might get in there, and I feel very sad, Sean, about the Kenny Pickett legacy in Pittsburgh. All joking aside, it feels sad. It feels like the worst thing that happened was he got drafted here. He should be remembered as a guy who lifted Pitt to heights it hadn't seen since the 80s when he took them to an outright conference championship and on national television with Pitt flags waving in the stadium and everybody on national TV seeing that. He delivered one of the iconic plays, I thought, in bowl history in the fake slide. I mean, it was awesome. He was great that year. And instead, he's remembered way more because of the Steelers compared to Pitt. He's remembered way more in this town for failing as the Steelers quarterback and leaving under, you know, questionable circumstances. It sounded to a lot of people like he quit.
There was
that just makes me sad. Shouldn't be that way. But it is.
I think there were some people that thought maybe he would have a chance to get another crack at it in Philadelphia. That would be a good fit for him. One and done. Now, obviously, he was part of a Super Bowl, but now he's going to a bitter rival. And I think most people in Pittsburgh, even Pitt fans, would probably be rooting against him at this point and hoping that he does kind of flame out with Cleveland and turns out to be disastrous. Which
do you agree that him getting drafted here was the worst thing that ever happened to him?
Well, definitely for his Pittsburgh legacy. There's no doubt about that. For how Pittsburgh fans view him, it's turned out terribly.
For his career, too. I mean, he was thrown in with Matt Canada.
There's a lot of teams that are not good with quarterbacks. Obviously, you think of the Bears and the Jets. But yeah, I would say, you know, probably one of the five worst scenarios, seeing how it played out in retrospect. At the time when they drafted him, I wouldn't have said this is a terrible spot for him. But looking back now, hindsight 2020, yeah, it turned out to be nearly worst-case scenario for him, I would say.
Next.
So we'll keep it in the same division and with the Baltimore Ravens and their quarterback, Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
He apparently is not too happy with how people have talked about one of his teammates, Mark Andrews, who was the GOAT, and not in a good way, in their postseason blunder last year. He says, my guy be getting talked about, and I really don't like that. He's done so much for us and how people did him. I don't like that. Mark's still Mark. So he's sticking up for his teammate. But can you really blame anyone for ripping Mark Andrews for basically costing them a chance at a Super Bowl?
Well, hold on a second here, Sean. It was Lamar himself, and I think he acknowledged this because I read the same story you're reading. Lamar had some critical turnovers in that game, a terrible interception, and a fumble that really sort of changed the game for good when you really look at it. So,
real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did Mark Andrews cost them? Plus, Olin would have been a tie game, I might add.
Right.
Did he really cost them the game? I mean, it was sort of a Jackie Smith-type legendary gaffe. But Lamar didn't have a great game himself. And I saw in the same story, he's vowing retribution and revenge on the league. And, man, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets it. I honestly thought the Ravens were the better team in Buffalo that night. But Josh Allen, to his great credit, decided, you know what? I'm not going to lose this game tonight. He was far from spectacular, but he didn't lose the game. And sometimes that's the deal in the playoffs. I'll be sort of, the best way to phrase it, the bigger man or the smarter player here by just not trying to play hero ball and not losing the game. Lamar lost the game. Josh Allen didn't.
Now, I don't know if he was explicitly asked about Mark Andrews, but do you like Jackson defending his teammate, or is it better just to steer clear of that conversation
altogether? Best to defend it. You know, I can only imagine the vitriol that guy has received. And I'm a Lamar fan. But, you know, we get to this topic. I remember having Peter King on when he used to come on with Ron and I. Do you have a Ron clip that could remind me of Ron at 11:54 on June 18th or whatever it is.
Oh, we're overlapping here. Hold on.
No, that's okay. Don't worry about it. You can do that later, Sean.
Yeah, we'll get Ron laughing at some point today.
Peter King, I said, do you think Josh Allen will win a Super Bowl? He said, absolutely. He said, okay. Well, I think he will too, except I also think Burrow will, and I think Lamar will in the AFC. Those are three, I think, going to wind up being three all-time great quarterbacks, but there's only so many Super Bowls to go around. First of all, the NFC just won it last year. They've got some good quarterbacks too. Which of the, let's take those three guys, those three inarguably great players, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, and Lamar Jackson. If you had to pick two of the three get a Super Bowl, who's the odd man out, Sean?
Right now, it feels like Burrow, because I just don't know that they're going to, this season or anytime soon, play enough defense for him. And
who's the one who definitely gets one of those three? That's a better question.
I think Josh Allen will.
I don't.
So you could say that Lamar's had the best team throughout his time out of the three.
I might say Buffalo has, actually, overall, for the whole time. Buffalo has set a record. I believe it's 5 years. They've had more wins than any team to never have appeared in a Super Bowl, to not have appeared in a Super Bowl over those 5 years.
And Burrow at least has that. He's got the Super Bowl appearance, and he's got the victory over Mahomes in the playoffs.
He does, but he plays for the Bengals. Josh Allen and the Bills are just star-crossed. They should have gone to the Super Bowl at least twice, and you only get so many kicks at the can. I think Lamar is the guy who's going to get over the hump. I thought he would have last year. If they could have gotten out of Buffalo, I think they might have actually won the Super Bowl, certainly got there. But man, there's a chance all three never do, because there's still a Mahomes guy there. There's Justin Herbert. I think they're building a good team. Denver is starting to rise, and C.J. Stroud is a good player. Notice the team I didn't mention.
The Pittsburgh Steelers?
Yeah, who's their guy for the future? Nobody knows.
Skylar Thompson.
Next.
So, speaking of the Bengals and their issues defensively.
They stink.
It seems as though they were an impasse for a long time with Trey Hendrickson.
They stink.
They have resumed contract talks. What will be the conclusion? And
oh,
will
my
even
God,
matter?
Am I unbelievably bored with this story, but it remains a story. To me, the big story here is TJ Watt, Hendrickson, Micah Parsons. I just saw Florio, other people saying that Micah Parsons will absolutely get the biggest deal out of all those guys, bigger than Myles Garrett. He'll be the highest paid defensive player in history. Do you think if he signs that before TJ signs, TJ is going to be like, I want to be that. Why shouldn't TJ be that guy?
Yeah, it seems like an order of operations thing, right? Whoever signs first will then get trumped by the next guy
right.
who signs. Although I think the difference is Parsons is younger. So it makes a little bit more sense if you were to pay him more, although Dallas has already given out some massive contracts and has really kind of handcuffed its flexibility to bring in complementary pieces. But yeah, I would think the next guy that signs, especially if it's Watt, will surpass Garrett. And then if Parsons signs after Watt, I think it would be a very short-lived time as the highest-paid defensive player for T.J. Watt.
Man, I wouldn't blame T.J. Watt for standing up and saying, this is my last big contract, maybe my last one, period, and I'm the best defensive player in the league, and I want to be the highest-paid defensive guy. Pay me.
And I think
and you know what? You know what? I wouldn't pay him, by the way, but I completely respect his right to demand that. I would too. And he has a good case for it. I just don't think this franchise at this particular time should be in the business of handing out, you know, 40 plus million per year to a 31-year-old edge rusher who's never been part of a winning playoff game. Oh, I'm sorry, has never been part of a team that has even competed in a playoff game and come close to winning. And it's not his fault, don't get me wrong, though he hasn't exactly been Lawrence Taylor in the playoffs, but you get the point, right? They don't have a quarterback.
There is so much talk about how the Steelers should have gotten ahead of the curve and given him a contract before Garrett got his so that you could get a discount.
Yeah.
I also think, however, while the Steelers maybe would have benefited from that, Watt would not have benefited. He's smart enough to realize the longer I wait, the more money I'm going to get. So
likely.
It has to work both ways.
Likely. This still could get plenty ugly. I still have the image in my mind of that Instagram post with him giving the peace sign. Okay, that was a very unusual move from TJ Watt. And I don't know what the hell it meant, but it seems to have meant that things aren't going great here with these negotiations. And that was back at the beginning. And if Micah outdoes Miles, then TJ's going to want more than both.
Yes.
All right. So things could get very, very spicy on that front. Speaking of...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.